So the title of this presentation is Hechsher HaMavui LeTiltul. And we're talking about a Mavui She'eino Mefulosh, which means that we're talking about a Mavui that is closed on one side. So you have the two walls on the two sides, and one of the sides going into Rishus HaRabim is closed off. So you only have one exit into Rishus HaRabim. And there are many different chatzeros that spill into this mavui. These chatzeros are common courtyards for many different homes. And we want to be metaltel, we want to be able to carry something in this mavui as if it were Rishus HaYochid. Now, in order to satisfy this requirement of allowing tiltel in the mavui, we really need that it be closed off on all four sides. But we can't allow that because we need one side to spill in and open up into Rishus HaRabim. How are you? Shalom Aleichem. So maybe, you know what, we should take... So again, this is what I missed. I'll just review the last sentence. You have this alleyway that's opening up into Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, you're not allowed to carry in this alleyway because once it's opened up, it's not closed on all four sides. And what we need is a real Rishus HaYochid, which is closed on all four sides. So the Chachamim made a new takana, and they said the following: you know what? We're going to allow you to carry in this mavui, but on one condition, that you do what's called a tikkun. So you'll see on the fourth line here in this first paragraph. Again, if it's not knocked off by the shadow, the first word on the fourth line should be ulitakna.
Okay.
Now I guess I got cut off.
No, it's here.
Oh, you can see it?
Yeah.
So the takna is the verb, the noun of which is tikkun.
Right.
So you need a tikkun. And the Chacham are going to determine what tikkun is necessary. And they offered you two possibilities. One is going to be, if you fast forward one line below that, a lechi, o bekora, o kora. So the lechi is going to be that vertical pole that goes up as you enter into the mavui, and the kor is going to be a beam that goes horizontally on top. And what we're going to try to figure out is what are the sizes, the dimensions of this lechi and this kor. How tall is tall, and how thick is thick, and what are the dimensions? So he says the following, that if you have this chatzer, you have this courtyard that's spilling into the mavui, then you need to stretch out a korah through a pas rachav, meaning a wide area. So you have the opening of the korah, the opening of the mavui, and you want the korah to stretch out over that width, over that area. And he says the following: what we want to discuss is the nature of the isur and the nature of the tikkun. You know, it's why the Rabbanan required this tikkun, and they didn't allow you to carry in the mavui unless you do this tikkun, which is either a lechi or a korah.
Right.
Now, do we need both lechi and korah, or one of the two? So that's the next paragraph called Makar HaLacha.
Right.
And he quotes a Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Beit Shammai Omrim lechi v'korah, u'Beisil Omrim o lechi o korah. So according to Beit Shammai, you need both a lechi and a korah. You know, some people will notice the poles on the vertical poles on the right side or the left side. Others maybe will notice what's on top. So you want to cover all your bases. That's Beit Shammai. So that's the Chumer Beit Shammai.
So Rabbi Eliezer
Rabbi Eliezer Omer Lechion. Okay, so we don't know exactly what Lechion means. Let's leave that out for the time being. We'll come back at it. It could be that lechion means he needs two lechis, and one lechi on the right side is not enough. He needs a lechi on both sides. Tosfos says the following, that our Mishnah, to open up the Masechta, wants to address this case of a lechi and a korah. And now he quotes one of the contemporary giants. He was called the Chazon Ish. I don't know if you heard of him. He lived died about 50 years ago, maybe more, here in Eretz Yisrael. He says that this Mishnah is called Ikar Psicha LeMechiltan. It's the main entranceway, so to speak, the introduction to our Masechta. And the reason that this is the opening, the introduction to Masechta, is because it's going to teach us that if the Mavui is Parutz, now here you have to underline the word Parutz, if you don't mind taking okay. this pen, because that word Parutz is going to be a word.
Right here.
That's going to repeat itself over and over again. If it's Paruch Beruach Achas Legamre, if it's completely open on one side, that means it's closed on three out of the four sides, then you're not allowed to carry in that mavui unless you do a hechsher, a tikkun, as we said before, and he closes off the fourth side.
Uh-huh.
Without that tikkun, if you only have the mavui closed off on three sides, then you're not allowed to carry in it. And even though your three sides are called three mechitzos, again, that's another word you have to underline, the word mechitzos, okay. He says that's not going to be sufficient to give it the status of Rishus HaYochid. And when we talk about Tikkun Mavui, we mean to set up a fourth mechitza, so that on that fourth side, it shouldn't be parutz, it shouldn't be open. Now, in the next paragraph, he quotes a Gemara that does the Mishnah talk about a Mavui Mefulash? The Gemara later on is going to clarify that we're talking about Mefulash, or we're not talking about Mefulash. So we want to underline the word Mefulash. Mefulash means that it has two walls on two sides, but it's open on both ends. You can go down the Mavui to Rishus HaRabim and it's open, or you go the other way up the Mavui and go out in Rishus HaRabim, which means that you only have two Mechitzos. Or are we talking about a Mavui Sasum, which is not Mefulash? So the word Sasum here, which is the opposite, you want to underline that, Sasum is the opposite of Mefulash, and that means it's got three complete Mechitzas. And the Gemara wanted to say in the Hava Mina that maybe we're talking about a Mavui Mefulash, which is open on both sides, so it only has two Mechitzas. But the Gemara rejects that, because that's against a Tana called Chananya. Chananya was a very famous Tana, and he's quoted on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And Chananya says that you need to what's called create a Tzuras HaPesa. So we have to underline Tzuras HaPesa. That's another major. You know what we're doing now is we're learning a little bit. So, you know, we're sort of wetting our feet in the terminology of Masechta Erevin. One of the most important terms in Masechta Erevin is called Tzuras HaPesach, and the idea of a Tzuras HaPesach is to create a mechitza on that side where the Tzuras HaPesach is, and you need a lechi and a korah on the other two sides. Now, what this Tzuras HaPesach does is it accomplishes a what we call an imaginary mechitza. So you have two vertical poles and one horizontal pole that stands or sits, I would say, on the top of these two poles that are vertical. You following me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's called the Tzuras HaPesach. And he says that according to Chananya, Nechleku Beit Shammai Beis Hillel in Tzorach Dalsos L'shnei Eivarov O Shaddai B'tzuras HaPesach Mikan V'lechi O Kor Mikan. He's saying the following, that according to Chananya, the machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai revolves around what's called Dalsos L'shnei Avarov. So do you need these openings, or we call doors, on both sides? Or it's enough to have a Tzuras HaPesach on one side and either a Lechi and a Korah on the other side. Maskanas HaGemara, the final conclusion of the Gemara is that the Mishnah is talking about a case not of a Mavui Mefulash, which perhaps could work out according to Chananya if you have a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, but rather it's a Mavui Sasun, which means that we have three full Mechitzos. It's only open on one side, on the fourth side, and that's where we need a tikkun and a hechsher, whether according to Beit Shammai we need both a lechi and a korah on that fourth side, or according to Beis Hillel all we need is a lechi or a korah to close off that fourth side. Now, in the paragraph that starts Hine, he points out that the main halacha that we have to know about a mavui, that it needs tikkun alechi yakora in the fourth side, is all derabanan. Now, what does that mean? The Gemara says mavui derabanan, and the Rambam also writes mavui derabanan. Why? So, if you open up to the Rambam in Perek Yud Zayin, he says that midin Torah, all you need to set up a Rishus HaYochid is Shalosh Mechitzos. Now, if we're talking about a Mavui Sasum, that means it's closed, enclosed on three sides, then according to the Rambam, you already have a Rishus HaYochid, and according to the Torah law, you'd be allowed to carry it there because it's a Rishus HaYochid. But Midivrei Sofer in the Rambam says, He Ruach HaRavius, we need to close off the fourth side. That's what the Rabbanan required, because the Rabbanan were afraid that we might consider this as a Rishus HaRabin, and you're not allowed to carry four Amos in Rishus HaRabin. So in order to make it crystal clear and remind everyone that this is a Rishus HaYochid, they required some sort of a Heker, something that would remind them and see that it's almost closed off on the fourth side. And that's either with a Lechi or a Korah. So that, again, everything that we've said so far could be summarized in really two sentences. Sentence number one is that the Lechi and Korah was a rabbinic requirement in a case of a Mavui Sasum. And point number two is that since it's a Mavui Sasum and it's surrounded by three Mechitzos, that is enough d'oraisa to permit tiltul, because you have Rishus HaYochid, and we go back to our first principle, but the Rabbanu wanted to close off the fourth side with a heker, whether it's Lechi or Korah. The Meiri writes that this requirement of a Korah or a Lechi in the fourth side is halacha l'Moshe miSinai. This is something that was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu through the generations that he received at Har Sinai. And Tosus on Daf Hei Amud Beis, at least according to the one interpretation of that Tosus, seems to agree with this sheet of the Meiri. Which is really interesting, because then it means this whole entity of what we call an Eruv, you know, mm-hmm. to set up a Lechi or a Korah on the right. fourth side is a Doraisa Halacha. Mm-hmm. It's something that comes from the Torah itself. It's not in the written Torah, but it was transmitted in the oral Torah. However, there's another kind of an Eruv, which is called Eruv Chatzeros. And we'll discuss that in a minute, but let's just say that an Erev Chatzeros has to do with pas, with a loaf of bread. And that has to do with what's called a chatzer. And we mentioned that a chatzer is a common courtyard. So the many houses that spill into a common courtyard. And in order to allow you to take from your house into the courtyard, what you need is called an Erev Chatzeros. That's not the same of what we're talking about here at the beginning of Erevin, which means a Lechi or a Korah, but rather it means Mazon Shtei Sudos, means all the people in that Chatzer, you know, living in different houses that spill into the common Chatzer, they contribute to a, let's say they gain a partnership in Mazon, in food. Again, what the details are, how much food and where you put the food, that we'll have to get into, but that is an institution that came at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. That's not Halacha L'Moshe miSinai. Our discussion about a Mavui might be, that's going to the Meiri and maybe Tosfos, a Halacha L'Moshe miSinai, but we shouldn't confuse this with an Erev Chatzeros, which was established by Shlomo HaMelech, to allow the people in the various houses that share the courtyard to carry from the house into the courtyard. Mm-hmm. Now he writes in the name of the Brisker Rav, Chidushei Maran Ariz HaLevi in Hilchas Erevin, Shnei Isur Malolim Shtei Halachos Nifrados, V'af Sheyisod Shnei Adinim Hu Shechachamim Gozru Mipnei Shamov V'idom L'Shesarab Mikol Makom Begeder Sibas Ha'isi Yeshchilut Beineim. So I'm going to just read this through this, and then we'll try to summarize it. Shechovas atikun lemechitza revias hu din beguf hamakom shezakuk l'tikun mechitzas v'yein lo din v'shesar hayochid lahatir tiltubo im lo yitakno V'achshiru es ruach ha'psucha. V'ilu chovas ha'er v'pas, he iser tiltul mikoach ha'diyurim. Shadiyurim adayorim osrim ze al ze l'taltil ad she'arvu es rishusam ze im ze l'shimu shal rishus achas. Leheker she rishus ha'yochid v'lo rishus shel rab. So let me try to explain this to the best of my ability, and if you can add anything or subtract anything, please do. He's saying that there's a fundamental difference between these two types of Erevin. The one type of Eruv, which is our Eruv of a Mavui with a Korah or a Lechi, what we need is a mechitza revius. So the entire thrust of this Eruv is to set up a fourth mechitza. It's not enough that we have three mechitzos. The Rabbanan required a fourth mechitza. They want you to close up that last opening that opens into Rishus HaRabin. And that's called tikun mechitzos. So you want to underline that phrase on the second line, towards the end of that line, tikun mechitzos. However, in the case of an Erev Pas, there we're not talking about tikun mechitzos, but rather what we're talking about is dayorim. Dayorim means that each person, as an individual, when I say a person, I mean the head of household, but it could be any member of the household, has rights to that chotzer. So Reuven has his rights to the chotzer, Shimon has his rights to the chotzer. Mm-hmm. And the Rabbanan said, insofar as each person has his own rights, he sets up a Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid means an area that I have rights to use. I can benefit from this area. And I'm going to close it up and get privacy in that area. But my Rishus HaYochid, in a sense, stands in opposition to your Rishus HaYochid, because to the same extent that Reuven has rights to this Chatzer, Shimon likewise has rights to the Chatzer. Here the purpose of the Erev is to knock out this diurin situation where there, each person is sort of in a tug of war claiming the Rishus HaYochid for himself. So what do? We make it into a common Rishus HaYochid by participating in an Erev, a Pas, and we all are equal partners in that food. Then we make it into like one chatzah. We're all using the same chatzah. And let's assume that the Erev has to be placed somewhere in the chatzah. But now let's go back to the Me'iri. The Me'iri had said that if there's no lechi or korah, there's halacha l'moshe mi'sinai that prohibits you from carrying in the mavui. And now he quotes a Tosfos in the name of Rabbeinu Yonason, sha'af shemin ha'torah dai b'sholosh mechitzos, even though the Torah relies and validates a Rishus HaYochid based on three mechitzos, but this halacha l'moshe mi'sinai comes up with a chumra that generates an isa tiltel until he does the tikun mavui in the fourth section. You know, it's that part of the mavui that's open into Rishus HaRabim with a lechi or a korah. Now, it's in a sense we're involved here in a little bit of a quandary, because on the one end we're saying that mavui requires lechi or korah as a rabbinic institution. On the other end, we're saying that there's already halacha l'moshe mi'sinai that predates the Rabbanon, and it goes back to the Torah at Sinai, that prohibits using the mavui for tiltal purposes. So what, you know what I mean? We're in a, there's like a dover vipucha, like a stira here. What is the nature of lechi and korah? Is it something that the Chachomim instituted because they were afraid? Maybe you wouldn't realize it's Rishus HaYochid. They want to make it look like Rishus HaYochid, remind you that it's Rishus HaYochid. Or is it Halach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, which is a Torah requirement? He says the plot grows thicker. He quotes in the next paragraph that starts with the word Od, an additional kasha. He says, we never found anywhere in the Gemara any opinion that says that minatori, you're not allowed to be metaltal in a mavui sasum that has three mechitzos. So what sense do we make about an isid tilta, which is halacha l'moshe mi'sinai? We never found anyone who said that the Torah prohibited carrying in a mavui, which has three mechitzos. And furthermore, the Gemara itself says Mavui Dirabana. And therefore we need to be attacking the Mavui because it's a rabbinic problem. Furthermore, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that in a case of a Sefer Torah Tefillin, let's say a fire breaks out, Chas V'Shalom, and you have to save the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin, then you're allowed to carry it out of whatever place it is and make sure it's in a Mavui Sheinu Mefulash. I mean, we can't, even though, again, you know, Sefer Torah and Tefillin are very holy objects, but we can't violate Shabbos D'Oraisa for the sake of Sefer Torah and Tefillin. It must mean that the status of a Mavui Sasum on a D'Oraisa level is that of a Rosh HaSayachid. And therefore there's no problem in taking this Sefer Torah from one part of the Mavui to another part of the Mavui. So basically, it's really strange that that the Meiri and others, apparently Bali Tosus quote others that agree with the Meiri, that the requirement of setting up a tikkun mavui is a Doraisa halacha based on halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. I mean, first of all, the Gemara says that mavui is the Rabbanon. And secondly, we have three mechitzos, so that should be enough to set up Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa. And thirdly, we don't find any shita at all who says that the requirement of a mavui, if you have three mechitzos, is a Torah requirement, biblical requirement. And finally, the Gemara says that if need be, we'll allow you to carry in a mavui, a sefer Torah or a tefillin, in order to save them from a fire that broke out, even though you don't have a mavui, or I'm sorry, you don't have a korah or a lechi. So there are going to be two approaches to try to wiggle our way out of this problem. One approach is going to claim that the Rishonim never meant what they said, you know, so to speak. That the whole requirement of a mechitza revius of a fourth mechitza is only derabbanan. It's only derabbanan. They use the term halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Don't take that too seriously. We'll find many places where you'll find halacha even referring to derabbanan. Now the word halacha, if it's alone, if it just says halacha, it means halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. And yet we're dealing with the dinim derabbanan. So how can you talk to me about a halacha, halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, on a din d'rabbanan? But the answer is that that's how it appears in Shas, that sometimes the Gemara will use the term halacha, meaning halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, even though the whole din is d'rabbanan. I don't know why the Gemara would do such a thing, he doesn't explain. It's like a bit confusing to us. He says that it's difficult to push this into the Meiri because the Meiri explicitly differentiates between halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim and an issur d'rabbanan. For example, when he talks about the mavui, which needs the hechsher of a lechi or kor, he calls it halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. When he gets to the case of the chatzer, we have many batim spilling into one common courtyard, there he goes out of his way to say, no, that's the takana d'rabbanan of Shlomo HaMelech. So you see that he's operating with two different terminology, two different categories. One is called the takanta d'rabbanan, issa d'rabbanan, and the other is called halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. So it's very difficult to break down that distinction and assume that when the Rishonim use the term halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, what they really mean is an issa d'rabbanan.
The width of this missing fourth, is there a limit? A limit to this?
Yeah, there is. It's got to be less than 10 amos. Once it's more than 10 amos wide, then we consider it almost like a Rishus HaRabim. Because, you know, what happens is the Mavi spills into Rishus HaRabim. So imagine if this is your Mavi, right?
Right.
Here's the Rishus HaRabim. This is the side that's open. So what happens is the people that are going on these highways, you know, on the basic street, they will spill into the Mavi. So we view the Mavi almost as an extension of the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore we need that the Pesach of a Mavi, in order to lend itself to Tikkun, should be, is there such a word, narrower? More narrow? Narrower than Eser Amos.
Because so the opening has to be quite very definitive.
Yeah. Well, the truth is that Eser Amos is pretty large, but you're right. Yeah, it's definitely limiting. You know, you could have a Mavui that's gigantic, and it opens up into Shesarabim, and it's so Miruvach, it's so convenient for the people of Shesarabim to spill in there that it becomes an extension of Shesarabim. Now, although on a Doraisa level, according to Torah law, it's not Rishus Rabbah because it's got Hekif of Gimel Mechitzos.
Right.
But in the eyes of the spectator, it mamish looks like Rishus Rabbah. So Rabbanan said in such a Mavui, don't even think of carrying it a Mavui like that, because then you're carrying it a Rishus Rabbah. Again, although it's only rabbinic Rishus Rabbah, but it's Rishus
Rabbah. So could that be part of
this? What, the Meiri? You mean Allah Rishus Sinai? You mean if he's talking about a case that's more than 10 amos wide? But the only problem is, the Miri's talking about Lechi and Korah, and he's saying that Halacha Moshe Misina requires the Lechi of Korah. And then by definition, he's talking about something that has a Pesach less than Eser Amos, because Lechi and Korah doesn't work for an opening of more than Eser Amos. He says, Yesh Levar Madua Tzarech Dafka Mavui Sosum Gimel Mechitzas Gemuros. Here's another kasha, just to make life even more complicated, more challenging. Let's say you only have two mechitzos. That's called a mavui mefulosh. Remember, we underlined it before.
Yes.
It's open to Rishus Rabbah on both sides. Well, guess what? It's not a Rishus Rabbah. Why? Because once you set it aside from the Rishus Rabbah with two mechitzos, then it's not the open area that's used by the Rabbin that, you know, walk and carry their, you know, they push their wagons and all their merchandise. It's closed on two sides. So what's the status of a section of land, an area that is closed, set aside by two mechitzos? It's nothing. What do I mean it's nothing? It's neither is just a rabbin, because, you know, the rabbin can't go into a tight area that's closed on two sides. It's not open. On the other hand, it's not a Rishus HaYochid, because Rishus HaYochid requires three mechitzas and only has two. So that's called, in the language of the Gemara, a karmelis. A karmelis means that midrabbanan, we consider it like a Rishus HaRabbin. So therefore, I don't understand. We're saying that a lechi or a korah, in our final conclusion, only operates for a mavui sasum that has three mechitzos. Why shouldn't a lechi and a korah work even for a mavui that's mefulash and only has two mechitzos? The entire iser of carrying in such a mavui is only derabbanan, which is called a karmelis. Why can't we be matir and mitakin and karmelis with the same lechi and korah? Notice, why is it that we need a... Right, A is supposed to be. You know, we need a Rishus HaYochid that was generated by three mechitzos, and then we're going to allow for a lechi and a korah. But if it's B, if it's only a karmelis, which means it's got a mechitza here and a mechitza here, so it's set up by two mechitzos, it's neither Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYochid, it's a karmelis, why can't we operate and be matir, be lenient in a karmelis, which is only the Rabbanon, and allow for a korah, a lechi and a korah? Right? Because the whole purpose of the lechi and korah is to close off that open ruach. Why can't we do that in the case of a mavui mefulosh, which is a karmelis? So on the bottom here, on the left, he quotes a sefer called the Gaon Yaakov. I'm not familiar with the author right now. I'm sure I do know the author, but I can't remember who it is. He says that the Issa Drabbanan of Tiltil is Ela Im Kain Nechshav Rishus HaYochid Gomur. In other words, the Rabbanan are going to impose an Issa Tiltil on something that is a complete Rishus HaYochid. And if it doesn't have all the conditions that are necessary to set up Rishus HaYochid, for example, it's a Karmelis, then the Rabbanan are going to say, a Karmelis, you're not allowed to be Metaltil in a Karmelis. In the case of a Makom Patur, okay, we have to talk about what a Makom Patur is, then you don't even need a Lechi in a Korah. So again, we've excluded this side and this side. We've excluded the case where you have two mechitzos, if you only have two mechitzos, that's not a Rishus HaYochid. And the heter of Tikkun Mavui of Lechi Akorah is only in a Rishus HaYochid. If you have two mechitzos, that's a Karmelist. They never accepted or recognized the possibility of Tikkun in a Karmelist. And if on the other hand, you have none of the conditions whatsoever, neither Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid, that's called a Makom Ptur, then you're allowed to carry in a Makom Ptur. Basically, a Makom Ptur is a place that's very high, but very narrow. Like in my day, I don't know if things have changed, but they used to tell us that if by accident you know, I came from a neighborhood where there was no Erev. Today, Erev is so popular. So they used to tell us if by chance you find that you're carrying something, you should put it down on the top of a fire hydrant. Because a fire hydrant has the shear of 10 tefachim high, and yet it's not arba tefachim al arba tefachim. It comes to a spitz. You know, that's your classical makom ptur. In any event, in makom ptur, we don't require lechi akorah. So lechi akorah is only going to be meaningful in something that's a rishus hayochid. It's not a karmelis. It has three mechitzos, and that's called a mavui sasur. And now he quotes Reb Chaim. Now let's see if we can figure out what Reb Chaim has to say. Now you don't have the next page, am I right? Well, you do have the next page.
We do.
Oh, great, excellent. He says, I'll just read the last line on the first page. He says, the Chachomim Kavu Shalmanas Lahatir Tiltil B'Mavui Ulahavchin Beino L'Rishus HaRavim Lodai B'Mechitzos Olechi V'Kora V'Avshin Nikva Bo Shem Rishus HaYochim Min HaTorah. So in other words, let's say you have a Mavui Mefulosh, so it's got only two Mechitzos. Would it be enough to add a third mechitza in order to separate it from a rishus harabim? No, once you put up a third mechitza. And the answer to that is a flat no. The Chachamim said that if you want to be matir tiltul in a mavui, then what you're going to need is, by definition, a rishus hayochid, meaning three mechitzas. So if you only have two mechitzos, they're not going to allow you to set up a quasi-third machitza in order to be matir tiltul, to allow you to carry there. The af, and even if I would grant you, shenikba bo shem rishus hayochid min haTorah, even if I could set up a third machitza in such a way that it, let's call it an imaginary machitza, with a lechi in such a way that it would be a third machitza, which would make it into rishus hayochid, they still would not allow you to carry there. Because we need what's called a mavui sasum that has its own three mechitzos, right? It's closed off on three sides. Now, Reb Chaim adds another condition here, and this you might want to underline. It's on the second line. He says, "Ein bo bekias rabim." He says that the rabim who are traveling on the highway, you know, on the main street, they only have access to this mavui through one particular pesach, one opening. And ein bo bekias rabim, there's no way that the rabim could spill over, because again, in understanding a mavui and why the chacham don't want you to carry the mavui without this eruv of alechi or korah, you have to understand that the mavui is always viewed as an extension of the rishus harabim. Mm-hmm. Just a rabbin sort of spill over. This, by the way, this in general will go beyond our discussion about Mavui, but whenever you have a highway, the halacha views it as if the highway spreads out, sort of. There's what's called, for example, Tzidei Rishus HaRab on the sides, then there's something called a Simta, where, like we have it here on Yoshua Ben Gamla Street, or on Yoshua Ben Nun Street. They're like poles that come up to the ground about that high. You've seen it.
Yes.
And maybe they're protecting you so that in case you veer off, you won't go on to the street, whatever it is. So all those cases are cases where, since there's enough space between one pole and the other, if need be, if it gets too crowded, you know, like on Leil Yom Kippur here, if you've ever been here, these streets are amazingly crowded. And people spill into these smaller areas. And in the case of a mavui, if need be, the rabbin will spill into that area. That's an overcrowded rishus harabim. That's called rabbin bokin bo. So Reb Chaim says that in order to understand when the Chazal allowed you to put up a mavui, a tikkun mavui of a lechi akori, you have to assume that ein bo bekiyas rabim except in that one Pesach. On all the other four on all the other three sides out of the four, the rabim have no way of spilling in there. Only on one side with one opening, and that's where they allowed for a hechsher to set up a hecker on that one single Pesach. So we can no longer discuss a lechi or a korah unless we assume there are three mechitzos, which means that the rabbim have no way of spilling in except through one open side out of four, one fourth, and that's where in that fourth side they're going to set up a lechi or a korah, which is otherwise known as the mavui sasum. And he says, Tzorech gam es hatnai sheichoshim shesayochid ubechalzos osu taltil bo. He says, even though we're going to need three mechitzos, again, because we're talking about a mavi sasum,
right,
which makes it on a Torah level into shesayochid, nevertheless, we're not going to allow you to carry in that area because there's so many people using that area unless you have a lechi or a korah. So that's the tikkun lechi and korah. Let's see if we can push it for another 5 minutes.
Please.
And then if you're up to it, I'd love to do a little bit of Masechta Shabbos with you.
Please.
This is Masechta Erevin.
Please.
They're very similar. There's an overlap. He says the following. Let's talk about four Rishuyos. This is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Arba Rishuyos L'Shabbos. One is Rishus HaYochid, one is Rishus HaRab, one is a Karmelist, and one is a Makom Tur. Rishus HaYochid is either a digging, like a ditch, which is 10 tefachim deep and is 4 tefachim wide, or a fence which is above the ground, so we have subterranean and then we have above ground.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a word for one single word for above ground, the opposite of subterranean? I don't know, terranean maybe we could call it. Anyway, so then you have something terranean which is called a gader, it's like a fence. Now, what happens is that in a case of a gader, what you're going to need is a gader that's 10 tefachim high, but it has the width or the thickness of 4 tefachim. Like, for example, a very thick wall. So on top of that wall, if it's 4 tefachim, right, a tefachim is like a half a foot, so let's say you have 4 tefachim would be 2 feet, it's got to be 2 feet wide. Now, I don't know if your average wall is 2 foot wide, but if it's not 2 foot wide, then it's not a Rishus HaYochid. And then we get to something called a Rishus HaRabim. What's a Rishus HaRabim? That's called a Sratya, a Platya, Gedola, or Mevuvos Mefuloshim. So a Sratya is a market, you know, where they bring all their wares out to the market. So people sort of flock or gravitate towards this marketplace. Mm-hmm. And a flatya is what's called a city square. Like most cities have even, large cities have even more than one large area. So these are either, you know, larger areas or open areas for marketplaces. And then we have mevuos, mishvuloshim. Those are alleyways that are open on both sides, spilling from one side of Rishus HaRabim and going out into the other Rishus HaRabim. I remember I was recently on a trip to Cyprus, and if you want to walk towards Chabad in Cyprus, you go underneath this ceiling area that's closed off, and the rabbim, the people just flow into this area. Inside there are many restaurants and different shops, and so when you end up on the other side back in Rishus HaRabim. So that actually technically is not a Rishus HaRabim because it has a ceiling on it. But we didn't get to that. But Rishus HaRabim Makura, which has a ceiling, is not called a Rishus HaRabim. But if it's an open area that connects like two highways, and it's an alleyway that's open on both sides, if it has a certain width, that's called the Rishus HaRabim. And that's called Miyuad Lehiluch Rabim. It's an area that's designated for the walking of the public. Now there are other places which are accessible to the public, but nobody, when I say nobody, I'm exaggerating, but people don't go there. And that's called a sada, a field, a bika is a valley, a yam, a waterway. Anybody could go on the waterway, but who goes there? Very few people. That's not neither Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYochid. On a Torah level, that's called a makom p'tur, like that hydrant that I mentioned earlier. Right. However, as we'll soon see, in these cases of open areas which are accessible to the Rabim, although very few people go there, so it's not Rabim Mitzuyim, the Rabbanim gave that area the status of a Karmelis. On a Doraisa level, it's a Mokum Ptur, because it doesn't have Mechitzas, and it's not accessible to the Rabim generally. See, it would be interesting if, let's say, there was a field and at some point in time, for whatever reason, they made a marketplace in the field or some sort of major public happening, you know.
But in the field, it would be Sadeh.
Even though it's a field, it would become a Rishus HaRabim because it's wide open, it has no ceiling, and the Rabim Mitzuyim Shon. So it'd be interesting to think that there may be certain times of the year where there is a Rishus HaRabim. Like when I was a kid, there was a famous musical event called Woodstock. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So that might have been a Rishus HaRabim, even though it was technically it would be a Carmelist, but at that point in time, maybe the Rabim Mitzuyim Shom, it would be a Rishus HaRabim. Now, just one more paragraph, and then we'll call it a morning for Erevin, and then I want to learn Shabbos if you're up for it. V'nafka Nina, you see that paragraph?
Yes.
He says the following, that the Gemara on Daf Vav in Masechta Shabbos establishes that you cannot carry, you're not allowed to carry from a Shayochid into a Sarabim, or vice versa, to be Machnis from a Sarabim into a Shayochid. And in these cases, if you did it b'mezid, in other words, if we warned you and you deliberately violated this, then you're chayv skila. That's a very severe, a death sentence. If on the other hand he was a shogeg in hotzah or achnosah, hotzah means to take it out from Rishus HaYochid and put it into Rishus HaRabim. Achnosah means to take it in from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. If he did it b'shogeg, he's chayv chatos. He has to bring a korban chatos. So those are the two Rishuyos that the Torah recognizes. So you need a height for Rishus HaYochid. You need a height of Asara, minimum of 10 Tfachim, or below the ground 10 Tfachim deep. And you need that it be wide 4 Tfachim. Rishus HaRabim is like a Sratya, Platya, or Mavos, Mifuloshin. These are areas that are Rabim Mitzuyim, Leleches Bahem. And we're going to talk about the width of such an area, and that area is called a Rishus HaRabim. So if you carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, you're chayev a chatos. You have to bring a korban chatos. Then we have areas which are called Karmelis and then Drabonon. So it's a wide, wide open area, but very few people go there. So it's not a Rishus HaYochid because it's not fenced off by any of the people. It's not a Rishus HaRabim because very few people go there. And that has a halacha of a karmelis. And then you have a fourth area, which is called a makom p'tur, which is 10 tefachim high, but it's a very narrow area. And that's going to be a makom p'tur. All right, makom p'tur is a little bit more complicated than what I made it out to be, but we'll pick that up, Belineta, tomorrow if we can. Okay, then? Let's take a 5-minute break.
You're teaching tomorrow, Rabbi?
Tomorrow I'm teaching.